Hey guys, welcome back. I get to share with you guys this morning. It's a privilege to be here. Again, we hope you're doing well. We miss you guys. If you're new here, if you're visiting here on Facebook Live, don't call Horizon into your home, I just want to say welcome. We're glad you're here. My name is Ed. I have the privilege of sharing with you guys this morning. So let's start with a word of prayer and we'll dive right into the scriptures. Amen. Lord, I thank you for this day. I pray that you would bless this time in your word now. I pray that you would bless just being able to gather together, even virtually this way. But also, I pray that you bless your word as we study through your word, as we just look at scriptures today. I pray that you would just reveal more of your nature, more of your heart to us, and that we as a people could draw near to you. We love you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, guys. Well, this morning, I'm going to be sharing out of Psalm 103. But before I go there, I want to touch base on a couple scriptures. If you want to turn there, feel free to go ahead and turn there. If you got your Bible, if you don't have a physical Bible, go ahead and open up your Bible app. It'll work with Facebook Live. All you got to do is hit that little square corner, square within a square corner at the top of the screen, and you'll be able to open up your Bible app as well as follow along. Before we go to Psalm 103, though, I want to touch base on a couple scriptures here. What I want to talk to us about today, what I want to share with us today, is understanding the benefits of knowing Jesus. So often we hear that there's a different God between the Old Testament and the New Testament. But I want to take a moment today and express how untrue that is, that the Old Testament God is the same God of the New Testament, the same person of Jesus Christ. Let's look real quick at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. It says here, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." Guys, right there it says, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Not just some spiritual blessings. He has not just blessed us with one spiritual blessing, but with every spiritual blessing. This is the same God of the Old Testament speaking. This is in the New Testament, but this is this very same God. The heart here is, he is a God of blessing. He is a God who has our hearts in his heart, our interests in his heart. He's very interested in your life. Let's also look at 2 Peter chapter 1, also starting in verse 3. If I can get my Bible app to work for me. There we go. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Well, let's start in verse 2. "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust." He has given us all things. That's a past tense. It's an ongoing tense. He's continually giving us all things that we need for this day and age. He's continually giving us all things that we need for life and godliness. Through knowing him. If you look a little farther down there, it says he's given us all things pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. What are some of these blessings, these things that pertain to life and godliness, these exceedingly great and precious promises? That's why I want to camp out today for our little bit of time here this morning in Psalm 103. Psalm 103 is a psalm. I went to a Christian school very similar to Horizon Indy has a Christian school here. I went to a Christian school back in Ohio where I grew up. And in that Christian school, believe it or not, there's a class that's called Bible class. It's weird, I know. But there's a class called Bible class. And in this Bible class, I think it was my junior year in high school, we had a new Bible teacher. His name was Mr. Colbert, and he made us memorize Psalm 103 in the New King James Version. I can get through maybe 10 verses of it before I start to forget nowadays. But it was amazing because back then it sparked my interest for learning the Word of God, for memorizing the Word of God. And this psalm camps out in such a way on the very nature of God's heart for his people. It's singing about, and remember, psalms are songs of the Old Testament. They are the hymnals of the people of Israel from back in the Old Testament. This song sings about the mercies of the Lord, and it expounds upon it, expands on it, and explains God's heart towards his people. Now we're looking at the Old Testament God here. We just studied the New Testament God. Now we're looking at the Old Testament God. They are the same God. Let's look at Psalm 103 together. We'll read it and then we'll kind of break it down. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction and crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children. To such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them, the Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength and do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you hosts, you ministers of his, who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places, his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. This is the word of God. Let's go back to verse 1 as we briefly go through this psalm and we study the nature of the mercy of God. If you look here in verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul. And in verses 1 through 2, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. It's a repetitive. It's an introduction to this musical piece, calling the people to start with praise. Calling those who sing to remember the Lord and give him honor, to give him praise, to give him the worth that he is due, to give him your full attention, to give him the full attention that he is due. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, verse 2, and forget not all his benefits. What are these benefits that we're talking about? He's encouraging the reader, he's encouraging those who are singing along to remember who God is, to remember the very nature of God, to remember his exceedingly great and precious promises, as 2 Peter talks about in the New Testament. What are some of these benefits? He goes on to list in verse 3. Who forgives? Remember, he is a gracious God whose desire for you, whose desire for me, whose desire for all of us is restoration. This is the God of the Old Testament. The God that so many people think is a God of wrath, a God of judgment. He starts off right away here speaking about forgiveness. The heart of God is for restoration, for forgiveness. Who heals all your diseases. Our God is the great healer. Verse 3 still. Sometimes the healing is present in the now. Sometimes the healing is in the restoration of all things. That's up to the Lord. But we do know this, that he is good and that he heals. Again, sometimes that healing isn't in the here and now. Sometimes that healing, it will be at the end when all things are made new. But the writer is including this because he recognizes that the healing act of God is a part of the nature of the mercy of God. And we're praising him for his mercy in this song. His healing is an act of the Lord's mercy. Verse 4, who redeems your life from destruction, he longs for and brings restoration to his people. That doesn't just mean he brings restoration to a select few. His heart for you is restoration. Now, he wants to partner with you through faith. And we put our faith in him, and he does the work of restoration in our hearts. He's the one who does the work, but he wants to partner with us through faith. He wants us to step out and believe. Now, even that act of faith comes through him, which is amazing. And we'll get into that another time. But I do know this. One day, all things will be made new. Oh, how we all long for that day. Even creation itself groans for that day. It looks forward to the day when all things are made new. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. He is a loving God. As a father who loves his child, he loves you. Verse 5, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. He is the God who meets our needs. He's the God who understands what we need. He restores us. He gives us joy. Verse 6, the Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He is a righteous and just God. He will defend his own. He is our defense. If you have put your faith in him, he is your defense. He is just. He will keep his word to the uttermost. Verse 7, he made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. He is a God who desires to make himself known to you. He's a God who desires to make himself known to all of us. That's why in John 17, verse 3, it goes on to express that this is eternal life, that they may know him. He is a God who wants to be known. As you seek him, you will find him. It says it over and over again in Scripture. It's all throughout the whole book. Just keep looking. Verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. Let's take a second and think of that for a minute. This is his nature. This is who he is. He is merciful, he is gracious, he is slow to anger and abounding in mercy. Not just the New Testament God, but the Old Testament God. God himself is slow to anger, abounding in mercy for you, for me, for all man. He will not always strive with us. Verse 9 through 10. He will not, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. Just expanding upon the mercies of God. Verse 11, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. As high as the heavens are above the earth, meaning it is immeasurable how much the Lord loves you. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his mercy, his love towards those who fear him. Verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us, his forgiveness is everlasting. We all, if you have been here at Horizon Indy, you've heard it said, I'm glad he chose to word this east from the west, because you can never go east far enough and start going west. But if you were to say going north to south, eventually, once you get to the North Pole, you're heading south again. It's a polar shift at that point, and you're going back the opposite direction. He's given us an expression here that is limitless. He's saying he's removed our transgressions. He has forgiven us to the uttermost. Verse 13, as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. Verse 14, 15, and 16 go on to talk about his view of us as his children. And he knows our limits. He knows what we can handle. He knows that our frame is but dust. But God steps in. But God is loving kindness and tender mercies. Verse 17 through 18 goes on to talk about his mercy and love, how they are everlasting. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him. His righteousness to children's children. The love he has for us is everlasting. It does not fade away. Verse 19, the Lord has established his throne in heaven and his kingdom rules over all. This merciful God of the Old Testament still reigns today. This loving, kind God still reigns today. And it goes on to close off the song, verses 20 through 22, just establishing the glory, the majesty of this loving God. Bless the Lord, you his angels. Bless the Lord, all you hosts, you ministers who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all of his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, where? Oh, my soul. It's a personal application. In response to this loving, kind God, it calls us to worship. We start with worship. We end with worship as we recognize the very nature of God. So if you take anything away from this today, I want you to remember the very nature of God and who he is. Remember that in verse 8 it says, he is merciful, he is gracious, he is slow to anger, and he is abounding in mercy. That is the God that we serve. Now our God is just, our God is righteous, but because of Jesus Christ, we have an open door to the throne room of this loving, kind God. So today, as we close here, I encourage you, spend some time just in gratitude to who God is. Remember the benefits that he has towards you. Remember the benefits that he's given us, those every spiritual blessings, those exceedingly great and precious promises that he has for you. Father God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the privilege that we have to seek you together. I pray that you would bless our time today and whatever we have to go about in this day. May it all be for your glory and remind us throughout this day of how kind and how good you are. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for being who you are. In your name we pray all these things. Amen. Have a blessed day, everybody. God bless.